theoldorchard.com.
Good afternoon, Pierre McGuire. How you doing?
I'm good, Mitch. I have an idea for your challenge.
Yes, sir.
Rod wants skin in the game. So here's the way it should work. If you call and challenge any of your, meaning Mitch Melnick's, creative genius, and you are wrong on something, you can't call back for 2 months on any show on the station.
That's a good one. Yeah, I like that.
And track the number.
Yeah, let's make it 3 months. Let's make it. Tony
wouldn't like that.
Let's make it 6 months.
Let's put the text messages in there too, please.
Yes. Yes. No question about it. So Pierre, for those who may not have been listening earlier in the week, in the aftermath of the Galchenyuk injury and all the speculation about who might be able to fill the role short term. Offensively, nobody's going to fill that role long term, but in the short term, and move Radulov in the middle, move Shaw to the middle. You were very, very strong in saying, as we just heard there, go with Deneau. Why?
Yeah. Well, because he's a smart player, number one. Number two, he's got youthful enthusiasm. Number three, he grew up in Chicago as an NHL player, watching Kane, watching Taves, watching Hossa, understanding big moments that those guys have gone through, and you learn when you're around those people of how to prepare yourself and how to handle those kinds of things. And I thought he was the perfect person at this juncture to be able to elevate because of what he had learned. And I'm only speaking from experience of having been around Mario Lemieux and Scott Bowman and Bob Johnson and Ron Francis and Paul Coffey and Mark Recchi. And the things I learned from them, even though I thought I knew a lot before I met them all, the things I learned from all of them afterwards helped me immeasurably. And I think that's the same kind of stuff Philip Deneau can do.
You know, the time dealer was there too, like all the boys are still in the time dealer a little bit, but great response. You know, the guys came here to work, and obviously big game by Price here, D-man and all forwards.
We'll get to Carey Price situation in just a second. So Philip Deneau, who we said at this time yesterday wasn't part of the morning skate because he wasn't feeling well. So
did you know you were going to play, or
after my 6 hour nap, I yeah, I know. I thought I was all right. Yeah.
How do you feel now?
I feel okay. Yeah, I feel good.
6 hours.
You ever had a 6 hour nap, Pierre?
No. I wish I could get 6 hours.
No kidding. Yeah. So that trio last night of Deneau and Andrew Shaw.
Yeah.
And Laikkanen.
They were just put together, but they looked like they've been playing for a while together.
Well, two of them played a little bit, not a lot, but a little bit in Chicago. At least they were on the ice sometimes, and obviously practice with one another in Chicago. So that helps. Laikkanen's smart. He's a smart player. And one of the things about Laikkanen, you know what? You were first on this. You nailed this one. His release is big-time NHL, Laikkanen, in terms of how he shoots the puck. So I think that actually that line could probably have some serious traction for the Canadians if they, you know, have to keep it together. It could be really strong.
And another guy that you pointed to, great leaders.
And Mitchell scores on the wraparound. Torrey Mitchell, it was a harmless-looking play. He picked it up on the backhand, and Mitchell has two.
It was good to see the shot totals go up tonight. So that was I don't know, that might have been our best offensive game. You know, minus our two best centers.
That's a fact. It was their best offensive game of the year in terms of generating shots and the wide margin they outshot the Devils. They totally dominated New Jersey, and Torrey Mitchell is up to 7 goals.
I didn't like the Devils' game at all. I talked to our great friend Stu Hackle this morning. We always, after Canadians' games, well, every morning I always call him. He's such a good barometer in terms of what goes on around the league. And I called him this morning as I was going to get some coffee here in Boston, and talked about, I didn't like Jersey's game at all. Everything that I told you about Jersey yesterday was wrong. They were nothing like the team I've been watching. So maybe the moment, maybe they had a plan of trying to get after Carey. I know you want to talk about Carey later. They just seemed that they weren't functioning the same way I've seen New Jersey function. And it could eventually be because the Canadiens were just better than them. That could be too.
A lot of times our puck management through the neutral zone, we wanted to play an east-west game. We should have played a little bit more north-south, put pucks in, and we didn't do that. that fed a little bit of their game, and you know they took advantage of that. They got in our zone, and they had lots of zone time, and we didn't help ourselves in that situation.
They made John Hines' team look very, very slow last night.
Yeah, well, there you go. And I talk with John a fair bit too. I didn't talk to John today just because I didn't want to rub it in. But I didn't like their game, and you just heard what he said. They fed the fire last night. That was not a New Jersey team that I'm used to seeing, especially with that man coaching. I think eventually they'll bounce back. I know they have a quick turnaround. They have to play tonight against St. Louis. But that was, I can just tell you, folks, if you don't watch Jersey a lot, that was one of their stinkers of the year, because they're usually not like that.
When you're a coach dealing with significant injuries, at least in the short term, are there some motivational abilities and techniques you've got at your disposal because you can use the injuries as a bit of a rallying cry?
I think so. I think there's a lot to that. Us versus the world. Guys want to respond and prove people wrong that doubted them. Maybe a player like Phillip wants to prove that, you know, people have doubted him, he's better. A player like Torrey wants to prove that he's better than what people think. Lekkonen maybe wants to prove that he's better. So, no, that, Andrew Shaw's made a career of doubt, going after the doubters and proving them wrong. So I think there's a lot to that. I really do.
It was a statement game that I told the players. It was important for that group, even for their confidence, to make that type of statement, and they did.
You know, and again, it's a different team in some respects, and they have a healthy Carey Price, who remained healthy after last night. But but they were doing this when Price went down a year ago. They were playing this way, Pierre, but they weren't winning games because they were getting outgoaled and or they didn't have puck luck. They couldn't finish.
There were more issues than that. They weren't a tight team. There was something. Whatever frayed in that room, it frayed bad because they weren't a tight team. And you can tell that they clearly wanted to adjust what was going on behind the scenes. And that's why you saw some of the off-season stuff that you saw, whether it was the acquisition of Andrew Shaw or the acquisition of, obviously, a hard-edged defenseman like Shea Weber. They clearly did not – they were not a unified group. You know what's interesting, Mitch? You bring all this stuff up. I'm always trying to dissect different situations. The Canadians didn't start the season with Carey Price.
Right.
It was Al Montoya. He played pretty darn well at the beginning of the year. Remember those games? He was really good. And there was a game Pittsburgh played in Montreal. Montreal should have got blown out of the building in the first 25 minutes of that game. Al Montoya was awesome. So I think there's a lot of different stuff that's gone on, and that's a tribute to upper management not burying their heads in the sand and saying, oh, we're Montreal, we'll bounce back. We'll keep the same roster. No, they didn't. They changed it up, and it's worked out for them.
Palmieri to the goal. He stepped around Petrie, and he takes out Price, and Price hits him with a right hand. And another one. Price punching Palmieri three times.
That's strange. I've never seen Price get that upset.
And Lovejoy runs over Price. He goes after him, and it's all broken loose now.
Look at Schneider.
Schneider coming under the blue line. Price losing it.
I've never seen him do that.
Three stiff right hands on Palmieri. He had it up. He got run over by Henrik the first time. And listen to the fans.
Well, now we got something going. That'll wake up this crowd.
Price going ballistic. And Palmieri took a while to get up. Not sure if Carey Price could become any more popular, but maybe he just did.
I got ran over on the first goal, so, you know, figured I wasn't going to take another one. So, you know, it's just got fired up, I guess. Well, there's no penalties being given anymore. You know, guy gets run over. There's no goalie interference calls anymore. It's either, you know, it just seems to be only called on a goal. So that's just my opinion of it. You know, the guys are, you know, appreciative, I guess, or motivated, I guess. You know, I thought, like I said, we responded well and played within the rules for the next 40 minutes and played better. Well, that seems to be the nature of the league now is go to the net, run the goalie over, and score a goal. So, you know, just gotta stick up for yourself every once in a while.
I mean, it's just a hockey play. I think it is what it is. No one got hurt. Let's move on.
I'll say this. I loved it from Carey Price because that was garbage from Palmieri. You say you don't know if it was on purpose? That was 100% on purpose for sure, no question about it. That reminded me so much of Chris Kreider, but more intentional.
Mitch Gallo at the second period roundtable on our broadcast last night on TSN 690. Kyle Palmieri after the game, and of course, Carey Price after the game. Pierre, it's your floor.
Well, first of all, Mitch Gallo's bang on Kreider. That's the first thing I thought of. Secondly, listening to Sergio, I remember one time when Carey Price and the Canadians were in Boston, and Boston had Tim Thomas and Carey and Tim Thomas engaged at center ice. So I've seen Carey go off the rails before. Nothing wrong with that. He's a big person. He's tough. He's a cowboy. He'll tell you that. And you can understand that. But the first thing I thought of when I saw that was Chris Kreider all over again. And that may have killed the Canadians' opportunity to go to the Stanley Cup final. So, no, I totally understand why that happened. I totally understand. Carey's right, too. It's become standard operating procedure around the league for forwards to charge hard towards the opposition net. And that's been going on for a long time, especially since they took the six, you know, the big steel pegs out of the nets to make it safer so guys didn't break their legs on the goalposts. But, Mitch, here's one thing I proposed before. There's not a meeting that goes on in the NHL before a game or the morning skate where the coach has the entire team there and says, here's how we're going to pursue this game, and this is how we want to pursue this goalie tonight. We're going to get bodies to the net. The buzz phrase is, we're going to take his eyes away. We're going to make sure there's a lot of crease confrontation. All those things are brought up in the pregame talks, okay? Have you ever heard a story of a goalie that's in those pregame talks who stands up in front of his teammates and his coach says, wait a second. Wait a second. You're talking about going out and getting the other goalie? What about me? Do you think the other room's talking about me that way? That's where it's a little bit different.
Okay.
Because all these goalies that are getting run over, they're hearing their coach tell their team, his teammates, to do the same thing to the other goalie.
No question, Pierre, but there's got to be, there's a line. The line is supposed to be the crease, right?
I mean, it
is supposed to be the crease. And so because of the instant replay, clearly officials are, it seems, more reluctant to actually blow the whistle now.
Yeah, Pierre, I feel like the refs are more likely to let the play finish, let the goal happen, and then like rely on the war room or the coaches to institute a challenge or a review so then they can take a look, rather than blow the play dead and know that they can't retroactively allow a goal.
Totally agree. We're on the same page. Here's one other thing I thought of when I was watching that play. And this is for old school Canadians fans. If you watch the replay over time, what's the one number that stands out besides Carey Price? Because you don't see Palmieri's 21.
26.
26. 26 used to be Pierre Bouchard. I can tell you this right now. If that would have happened in his day and Ken Dryden would have been got run over, let's say, by Stan Jonathan, I'll just throw an old name out there, who engaged in a previous altercation with Pierre Bouchard, that's legendary. You think that Pierre Bouchard would have let Ken Dryden do the dust-up on the player Palmieri? Not a chance.
Pierre, you don't have to go back that far. And this is, you know, I've said this repeatedly over the years, and if I have forgotten about somebody who did what I'm about to say didn't happen in the last 20 years, then I stand corrected. But since Lyle Odelein left town, I don't know of a Montreal defenseman who has been able to protect his goalie, whether it's been a Hall of Fame goalie or a backup goalie.
Well, I'm thinking, I mean, Odie was playing when I was coaching, and I have a lot of respect for Lyle and the way he played. I still think he has the record for the most points by a Canadiens defenseman in a game because I coached in the game. It was Hartford versus Montreal, and Odie had a huge first period, but he was always a feared guy because he understood his role, and I really think, especially Pat Burns when he got him early, Pat found a way, along with Jacques Demers, to really get him to another level. So I like that, but I would agree with you. I'm trying to think now that you bring that up.
Well, let me bring in Kyle Palmieri after the game, a little bit more from him, and Devils goalie Corey Schneider.
I've done it probably 50 to 100 times in my career. You go to the net and whether it's a trip or push or you lose an edge, it's going to the net, and that's where you score goals. I don't think it's never going to happen again. It's just something that you go to the net and try to put a good shot on.
Well, Gallo, you said it was garbage before Palmieri had a chance to speak. The fact that you heard him say what he did there makes you think what?
Liar.
No, don't say that.
Well, the thing is,
he's lying.
What's he supposed to say? Yeah, I went in there and hit Carey Price on purpose. He has a microphone in front of his face. I understand.
No, but he didn't lie. He's not lying. This is what I'm telling you. This is why I said what I said at the beginning, Mitch, and I understand your passion. I was angry, too, watching it. But I say this. There's not a team in the league that isn't programming their forwards to do that. I'm telling you, there isn't a team in the league that's not programming their guys to go out of the net.
But here's the difference, and I know Carey Price is not the only goalie to go down for a lengthy period of time, but he's the best goalie in the world. He was limited to 12 games. The team fell apart because of damage to that right knee. Earlier in the game, Adam Henrique went into him, pushed him down. Yep. A couple of years ago, the Kreider thing, as you pointed out. Before that, there was the playoffs in Ottawa where his season ended in a playoff game because of damage to a knee. I mean, this is like kind of built to this point where he finally said, that's enough. I've had enough.
Everything you're saying, we're all on the same page. We all agree. But I'm just telling you, this is where do yourself a favor. You get a chance, Mitch Gallo, watch the goal last night that Michael Raffle scores against Jonas Gustafsson of Edmonton.
It was a beautiful
goal.
See what
happens after the puck goes in.
It was a beautiful goal, and he bowled into the monster.
He runs it. The puck's in the net, and he still runs the guy over.
So what? Here's Corey Schneider.
Well, yeah, again, obviously he was pretty upset and frustrated. You know, there's a lot riding on that knee for both him and their team, so I can understand why, you know, after what he went through last year, he'd be pretty upset. But, you know, I think Kyle got pushed a little bit by his own guy there. I think he was, you know, driving the net, and the other guy gave him a shove, and I'm not a fan of goalies throwing blocker punches.
All right, and again, to be accurate, the punch that he threw at Palmieri in the back of the head barely landed. It was the kidney blows in the lower back that might have done
that's
some
what
damage.
That's what I think on a lot of people. The hockey people I talked to, they didn't like the kidney shots. Those blockers can hurt.
And if people were wondering, because people were throwing a match penalty around that he should have been thrown out of the game, he got an extra minor. They had a power play. They didn't take advantage. The Canadiens killed it off for him. I don't think that was at the level of a match penalty. And the league said there was no follow-up. There wasn't going to be any follow-up discipline.
No. That's why suspensions are down 75%. No, I'm just kidding.
Pierre, you said passion before, and you're right. I was really mad when I saw that because of the fact that I thought Price was in a vulnerable spot, the way his knee was exposed, and I felt like Palmieri was going after a spot that Schneider mentioned it in the clip. They know what Price went through last year, and I was thinking about you telling us in the past how players target certain areas when they know about injuries, and that's why I was so worked up.
Yeah, and you're absolutely, that's what I love about you. You care about the sport, and you have the passion to do it every single day. There's some people that can do it once or twice a week, and that's okay. You do it every day, and you have the passion to do it. I love that. But I also know that maybe because I'm jaded from 29 years, I know how it works. People go after. This is the reality of it. That's why information is king in the National Hockey League. The more you have about every player, where they come from, what's their educational background, what's their injury situation, do they turn better to their left or their right? You know, they're all little things. And over time, you accumulate fountains and fountains of information. And that's why I stress to all these guys who want to be in hockey management, especially if you want to run a team, you have to create a superhighway of hockey information that runs through your front office every single day. And it's got to be upgraded and continually upgraded to the point where you think you're oversaturated and you've only just scratched the surface because there's so much more. But that requires passion, hard work, intelligence, and a keen eye. It's not easy.
I thought he showed a lot of leadership. You know, at time you got to stand up for yourself. This is what he did.
So, Pierre, the fact that it was Carey Price, Rod, you made a Cam Newton comparison earlier today.
Yeah, well, Pierre, week one of the NFL regular season, Thursday night football, season opener, everyone's watching, 30 million people, whatever the number is. Cam Newton gets absolutely
Denver beat him up.
Obliterated. obliterated, and the league completely dropped the ball. They've got a concussion spotter. They didn't protect the player from himself. And Cam Newton, a couple weeks ago, felt the need to go public and say the referees don't respect him, aren't throwing the flags when he's getting beaten up in the pocket. I think this was tactical after the game on Carey's part to go public and kind of a shot across the bow, a warning to the league, a warning to the officials. He needs to be protected.
I think you're right, and I also want to throw a little bit more of a platitude out there. I think the Canadians, especially with Donnie Beauchamp there and Dominique Saillant, along with the coaching staff, they understand the influence of the major marketplace that they are. And so when you have a situation like this, usually, not always, those people will come in before the player addresses the media and try to help them prepare a message or a statement that they want to put out there. That's what the smart teams do. And I think the Canadians have done extremely well. And I'm sure Mark Bergevin learned this from Joel Quenneville and Scotty Bowman and Stan Bowman. And I'm sure he's imparted a lot of that on his Canadians people. But that's some of the stuff you do. Did you hear how calm, cool, and collected Carey was, though? Strong, calm message. Really well done.
Yeah, I agree with the call, though. I think it was a goal. I think it was on its way in. But I also think that it sure should have been a goalie interference call after the fact. Well, that seems to be the nature of the league now, is go to the net, run the goalie over, and score a goal. So, you know, just gotta stick up for yourself every once in a while.
All right, I wanna we're gonna go over. Alan Walsh, agent provocateur, will join us in just a few minutes. But a couple of other things. You mentioned the Canadians. Jeff Molson has been named to the executive committee of the NHL.
Yeah,
how significant is this?
Two Canadian owners, I think. I think Mr. Chipman, too, in Winnipeg was named to that committee today, correct?
That's right.
I think so. Those are two progressive, young, smart owners. It's a heck of an honor. I think it's wise. You know, it's nice to see new blood in there. Jeff's learned a lot on the fly. Mr. Chipman's been in hockey a long time. I was coaching in the minors when he was running the Manitoba Moose,